Welcome to the Sydney Property Muppets podcast. My name is Kurt Lawther. I'm the real estate agent, and with me forever is
Chris Clark, the buyer's agent.
Welcome, Chris.
Thank you.
This is an exclusive series on the buyer's negotiation journey.
Yeah, I'm loving it so far. So we've covered off, you know, when you're making the first offer. We've covered off counter offer when you're coming up against buyers. We've done, you know, putting offers in before auction.
Yep.
And today
is counter offer against the vendor.
I wasn't sure if you were paying attention then.
No. I'm always paying attention. Now, a lot of conversations I'm having with homeowners, buyers, and people just wondering about the market is a lot of people are still seeing these prices going up, all these amazing prices. But what a lot of people don't realize these days is back in COVID times.
Well, wait, let's just quickly say today's topic. So we're going to be following through. You're going to give a bit of an idea now. Like COVID versus now, so the change of what's going on.
Yep.
We're also going to talk about when you make an offer first or when you get a counter offer, what does that kind of mean? And we also talk about how you relay an offer through an agent to a vendor, maybe to get some sympathy and maybe a little trick at the end as well. So sorry, bring it back into...
No, thank you for giving some context.
Back to COVID.
In COVID times... Yep. And when there's always that boom, often it's the buyers pushing the buyers up and the prices are amazing.
Yeah.
However, times have changed with the interest rate, all the interest rate rises and where they're staying at, the market, the inflation, times being a little bit tougher, are people not having as much cash or ability borrowing power.
Yeah.
And often it is one buyer versus the vendor.
Currently
at this stage, not exclusive
all
to
the
that,
time, but yeah,
but that's what we're finding a lot, and particularly in Chatswood and the lower north shore suburbs around Chatswood, we're actually finding that quite a bit. That
the market's sort of taking a bit of a dull. Yeah, I think some there are always strong pockets and strong properties, right? But even from my standpoint, I buy all over Sydney. There are definitely times where we've put an offer in with an agent, not being successful because they want more than what we're prepared to pay. And 3 weeks later, I have a call from an agent before. He's called me 3 weeks later saying, hey, are they still interested? No, he's not lowering what they're after, but he's obviously aware of my buyers. He's asking how my buyers still looking, and if so, they might increase their offer. But it shows that we were the only ones then at the time, or at least in the ball, you know, having discussions. So reinforces your point about, you know, having scenarios out there at the moment where there's one buyer up against a vendor.
Yes.
And the agent.
Yeah. And that's even just a little quick side note. When you go to an auction, you need to keep in mind that you're not just versing other buyers.
Yeah.
You're still versing the vendor. And what we actually tell the vendor, if the vendor doesn't want to sell, congratulations, you've repurchased your house. Because it's like you've purchased it at the price you were willing to sell at, which means that's sort of where your house is now valued because you're not on technical paper. But
anyway, you love this one. So, okay, so then following on from that, so you start the negotiations.
Yep.
And you receive a counter offer. I want to let you know, look, overall in principle, that's a good sign. We talked in one of the previous episodes. If you don't get a counter offer, if you don't hear back from the agent at all, or they come back and just say you need more, it definitely indicates you're quite a way off. Getting a counter offer is good.
So we're going to presume in this scenario there's no other buyers are there. We'll pretend that no other buyers are going to come in because just say the property's been on the market for 4 to 6 weeks, maybe 4 to 7.
So in this scenario we're describing, so there was initially a guide price of 3.7.
Yep.
Right? Is that good?
No, 3.7.
The buyer, yeah, walk you through. You've decided to put forward an offer through various means and comparable. You've gone 3.9.
Yep. So you've gone above and beyond, but we'll just say the asking price or the guide, if it's not going to auction, 3.9. So you've done your bit.
And let's say the comparables are probably in early fours area.
Yep.
You as an agent, you come back from the vendor and you can unveil. So the vendor said to you, not saying less than 4.25. Do you tell the buyer, you know, this is where the vendor's at, 4.25, or do you add some mayonnaise on top?
So I think firstly, to give some context as well, some people, viewers watching, might be thinking, the guide's 3.7, the person's put an offer of 3.9, isn't that accepted?
Done and dusted.
The problem that you got to realize is what the vendor wants and what the agent has to put, because the agent puts on the agency where they see value. So the agent might see a value 3.7 plus 10%, 3.7 to 3.9. However, the vendor may not be willing to sell until they get a set number. That could be 4.2, 4.3, it could be 5 million, whatever it is.
Whatever it is.
So that's why, for example, it's not a done deal, and people sometimes get confused because the agent's got to present the property where
particularly properties that, you know, 3.7, 4 million and stuff, a lot of those people selling, maybe they're downsizing and doing different things. A lot of people buying I'm not saying they don't all have mortgages, a lot do, but a lot also buying that area, cash buyers.
Yep.
So there's a bit of a...
Well, the people selling don't have to... They're not in mortgage stress. So, for example, they might say to the agent, unless we get this number, we're not going to sell, but understand people will see value.
So do you come back with some A&As on top of 4.25 or allude to there being... Yes, the vendors come back with a counteroffer, and how transparent or how much do you guide a buyer in that scenario?
In this context, in this scenario, I wouldn't come back with a set number because at the end of the day, 3.9, they're still $300,000 off.
Still a significant way off, yep.
And until you're starting to get in ballpark figure, because the vendor might have made it clear, you know, that anything below 4.1, there's no point in discussion, and you could actually ruin the negotiations once you get the buyer up there if you've already started trying to encourage something around there. So I'm probably saying the 3.9, being like, thank you, it's a great offer. I might just say thank you for the offer.
Maybe not saying great offer.
Great offer. Thank you for the offer. I'll discuss with the vendor. If the offer was at the guide or the asking price, I'd probably be like...
Again, two different things, but yeah, go on.
Yeah, I'll probably just see, thanks for the offer, I'll pass it on to the...
And it probably flows on to our next point, talking about, you know, when you're presenting an offer or relaying that offer to an agent, you know, giving some weight to it. I genuinely believe, if you just give the offer too fast, you go, oh, 3.9 and get off the phone or, you know, send an email, there's not a lot there they can really carry with them as an agent to the vendor. Now, so by explaining to them, you know, it's your mortgage lender, you know, it's maximum where you can get to, or look, it's been your dream property, but, you know, if this doesn't work, you'll have to choose a different suburb. You may have a property yourself that you need to sell. It might be, you know, an apartment in the area that's worth half that level. You could indicate to the agent, would you like to do an appraiser for me and lean on that?
Now, if you're an ethical agent, it's not going to make one iota of difference what the person is saying in terms of you're not going to sell the property any easier or give any buyers a little discount.
Yep.
For me,
you think so?
However, as a buyer, you're trying to find the agent that it may work.
Well, and also, like, there's the part that I talk about selling your property. So that, let's move that aside. But even on the other side of the emotion of, look, this is my mortgage stress, Kurt. Is my maximum where I can go, like I can't, you know, we're both working two jobs and so forth. All that does really is gives at least provide you a bit of ammunition to go to the seller and explain where they've come up with this number and why, and maybe in some situations.
Can I say a quick mistake a lot of buyers make when they do try and provide evidence?
Go on.
You only providing negative evidence. So just say we're guiding 3.7 and we see so... If someone is wise enough to offer evidence, they're never offering what the vendor might be seeing. They're only ever offering below... You're cherry-picking what you think as a buyer. So instead of, you know, you don't just show the positive, but you show a full range. Just say you were to show 6 or 7 properties. If there are 6 or 7 comparables, one might be 3.5, 3.6, 3.7, 3.8, 3.9, 4, 4.1. And you can say where your offer fits in, look... I understand the vendor may see X, Y, and Z in their property and they may be thinking up here. As a buyer, I'm more seeing the property fits in this range, so 3.7 to 3.8. I'm willing to go 3.9, which is $200,000 above or so much percentage points or whatever above. Yeah,
and I do agree, absolutely.
As an agent, I would feel that, okay, they're actually genuinely doing their work.
Yeah.
They've done the due diligence.
Yeah. But I was just going to say, the only thing is I've had a scenario doing that even myself. And so providing a range, again, using the scenario, providing properties that have sold from 4 to 4.2 to 4.4, right?
Yeah.
I've had agents literally just remove ones that I've sent and openly go, you can't compare with that $4 million one. And just remove, like, no. I wouldn't be saying you do. But there's a part of like buyers going through this going, well, okay, I'm doing what you're saying, Ken. I'm going to provide various properties that give me, and an agent to come back and almost make them feel stupid. To go, no. The one at 4.6 is pretty, that's comparable.
Can I provide a harsh reality?
Yeah.
Is the agents doing their job?
Yeah, but I agree they are. But we also need to have an open conversation to say, you're saying to do this, to provide a list of comparables, and I'm saying when they do, they get beaten away and told the three at the bottom are definitely not even worth comparing. So if it's a harsh reality, I get.
Yeah, but for me, if you don't do it, you're making your life a whole lot harder.
Yeah.
I
guess what we're basically saying is prepare for it.
I've always said real estate is not a rainbow-coloured glass industry. Yeah. You're trying to acquire a business. It is personal. It is business. It can get heated. You know, sometimes it can be amazing. It can be smooth. But sometimes you've got agents and their job is to get the best price for their... And yeah, they may know that 3.6 and their 100%. Job is to make the...
100%.
Which is where you need to get thick skin and realise you're going into battle.
I agree. I'm just saying that by sending in comparables, expect buyers, and be completely comfortable with this, that you're probably going to get told two, if you provide five, that two of them aren't even worth. And that's okay, Kurt. I'm not correcting you. All I'm saying is buyers, be prepared for that. Not retaliation, be prepared for that pushback. Like
Can
you
I
said.
Can I provide a solution?
You just said have thick skin. Yeah, go on.
I was going to say, so in our scenario, the guide is 3.7, or the asking price is 3.7. You've put in 3.9 and the agents come back and smacked you and said, that's rubbish. Get rid of all those ones below 3.7. Then all you need to understand is that that agent legally must move that guide price, or the asking price, I should say, up to 3.9, which is the advantage of going above and beyond, because particularly in just a for sale campaign or an asking price, if they don't, that's where you can gather your evidence and send off to fair trading.
Yeah.
Because if they do get found out...
And you put an offer in and effectively it's been rejected, they have to update the asking price or the guide price from there to match that level.
Now, if they haven't done it in one day or two day because of negotiations, but if they've clearly rejected your offer and said 3.9 is not going to... We're not moving forward on 3.9, then or they don't... For example, they just don't respond and it's been a week...
Yep.
That's when I'd be noting down the evidence, and if you want, send it to fair trading.
Yeah, and it is the way you should be going. I talk to buyers though that quite often they're in fatigue, been looking for a while, they're really annoyed that agent. And basically, what they do instead of going to fair trading, they quite often go, we actually won't look at a property with that agent, and actually, what we're going to do is tell everybody not to use that agent, not to talk to that agent. So there's damage done, but not via fair trading. All right, I think we've landed at quite. In Perfect. A way, quite nicely there, overall. Now, today, a bit of a different one. Kurt's away on his holiday.
Going away on a holiday. So I can speak Danish, spent a lot of time there. And so I'm going to test Chris on three Danish little sayings. It's not too complicated. It's just...
He did say he's going to... The way he says them is going to somehow give a little bit of a hint.
Yeah, so right? Chris, I want you to imagine I'm your loving partner.
Right, okay, go on.
Jeg elsker dig.
I love you today.
John, I'm going to give it to you. So I love you. I love you.
Okay.
Well done.
Okay.
We're strangers and I might meet you. The Hilladu.
How are you?
Ooh, what's your name?
Oh, what's your name? Wow. I was more just going, what's the early phrase you'd say? Okay, last one.
It's getting around maybe 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
Skelby Spies.
What's for dinner?
Should we eat?
Ah!
Do you know what? I'm going to give it to you.
I guess a half a point. But again, I'm only getting that because of the time of day, my friend. Not getting what you said.
So a lot of people, random side note, when you're learning languages, people get freaked out. But it's all about context and body language.
Yeah, of course.
So
yep.
I'm going to give you 2 out of 3.
Oh, well. I mean, you're very generous. I'm not. We know that from history. Well, thank you all. Anything last to say, Kurt?
I just think if you know someone in their 40s,
yep,
that are negotiating.
He's not old, by the way.
Not old. Yeah, if you know someone in their 40s who are negotiating or about to negotiate, starting their property journey, I think this is a perfect property podcast yep. for them.
Tell them, jump on the Sydney Property Muppets.
Like, share, subscribe. Fireworks.
Thanks for dropping by.